Hey everyone, welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name's Kelly and we are going to dig right in today. If you're new here, I just want to let you know that we talk about flower discoveries. We have an interview with a special guest. A lot of times that is a floral designer, but we have all kinds of different people from the flower world here. So no matter what you do with flowers, whether you grow, design, create, sell, give flowers, if flowers are a part of your life and you resonate with the mission of loving the world through flowers, this is the right place for you. You have found a family to dream with. So let's dig in.
Welcome to Flower Discoveries, everybody.
Hello.
What up?
Megan is bringing in the style.
I've wanted to do that every time, but I have always felt like it would be weird.
But this was different. This was it, right?
Today was the day.
Well, since you had such a striking entrance, why don't we get started?
Okay. My name is Megan. I help with marketing and some conference stuff behind the scenes at Team Flower. And I wanted to remind everybody about this really awesome resource. I think we mention it and kind of talk about it in our foundations class at Team Flower, but it's the Small Business Development Center or the Small Business Administration. It is an awesome resource for business owners. So I just moved from New York to Kentucky. Everything is different here, and I'm kind of like brainstorming new ideas for my business and like how to set it up here and whatnot. So I reached out to my local economic development center and they put me in touch with this awesome business counselor. Her name is Jamie and she is with the SBDC or the Small Business Development Center. And she has been awesome. It's like a totally free resource. She's met with me like a couple hours now, like just free resources to meet. And she got me hooked up to this online business plan tool. And she's giving me advice about permitting and loans and funding and all this kind of stuff. So the good thing is there are these offices like all over the country. There's all these local branches. So if you are thinking about starting a business or want to take your business in a different direction, you have questions about permitting or anything, these people are just totally on your side and it's a free resource and you should check it out.
Perfect.
And we're meeting by Zoom right now because of COVID, but it's just been super helpful.
That's really cool. It seems like a lot of those too are have good connections, like mentors.
Definitely.
Like I think they've got a mentorship program too, like business owners in the community that, you know, want to help out new budding businesses. Mm-hmm. Pardon my pun, but you know, it's like those types of community connections are something you can't easily get without an introduction. So it's really cool.
Well, speaking of starting new businesses, Amanda and I were talking about Matilda's Bloom Box. Do you want to share a little bit more about that, Amanda?
Yeah. So I recently came across an article in Forbes highlighting Matilda's Bloom Box. And if you haven't heard of them before, they're a floral company that ships all American grown flowers for like $39 a delivery. It's like a small bunch of mixed flowers. And I really enjoyed reading the story. I felt like it was a little bit encouraging, so I don't want to link it into the show notes, but also share with you guys. So the couple that started it, their names are Matt and Emily, I believe, they had a lot more experience and capital to start with than maybe like the average person just starting out. But what I found really interesting and encouraging is that Emily still says in the article, she was so scared to start a business. And her husband is like fourth generation floral industry. And so I just found that super encouraging because I feel like there's a lot of us out there, you know, Megan, you're talking about like revamping your business once you move to Kentucky. There's a lot of us out there that are afraid to start. I'm like, I don't have enough capital or I don't have enough time or I'm like really afraid what could happen. And they have actually, you know, if you read their story a little bit, again, we'll link it in, you know, a little bit more experience and a little bit more capital than most of us. And they still were, she was still afraid to make that start based on what I gathered from the interview. And so it's just kind of something that we all feel when we're like taking that leap. And so I just thought it was really encouraging, like to just, you know, obviously move forward wisely, but know that everyone has that little bit of fear when starting out or changing their business, no matter what your resources are or the amount of time you have. And so if it's something that's been tugging on your heart and something that you feel, you know, that you should put energy towards, it's just what Kelly, you always say, one step at a time.
Step at a time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome. Who wants to go next? Jaclyn, you have something for us? It would be fun to hear from you.
I do. This is just a little fun one because right now we're recording during the holidays. So if this is after, just to get you in the spirit for 2021. But there has been this picture going around of this pampas tree, this pampas grass Christmas tree. Have you guys seen it?
Yes. It's awesome.
It blows my mind. Everyone keeps sharing it. And I'm like, this is insane. So I looked it up and these designers in London, their business is called Alari Events or Alari Events. Well, I'm sure we'll include it on our blog post, but you guys have to look this up. It literally is, I don't even know how they built it. I want to know how they built it, but it's a legit Christmas tree of pampas, just fluffy, fluffy, glorious pampas. It's so cool.
Wow.
So I know, I think maybe we could try it next year. Maybe I can do like a little like miniature version. I think it's cute. I want to try it. I have so much dried pampas in my garage and I want a pampas tree now. So
you should do it.
It looks now really cool.
Now we have to vote if you say it pompous or pampas.
I know. I've heard it either way. I always say pampas.
I say pompous.
I say pompous.
I say pompous. Sorry, Jaclyn.
But guys, it sounds like, oh, pompous. Like, oh,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
The pompous grass.
But it also,
it's a weed. It's a weed in California, so it's pampous. Pompous.
Not pompous. Fancy in California.
It doesn't earn that pompous title.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's
kind of a undertone pampous.
Get your pompous grass. No.
Too bad this podcast isn't video because Jaclyn is present as she's saying
right.
Everyone should enjoy.
Alright, well, I'll meet you guys down in North Carolina where we can have some peonies. I love it. Peony. There's so many different flower pronunciations. It's
dahlia,
it's
just, dahlia.
Oh, yeah. Dahlia.
Do people say dahlia?
Yes. Yeah. I had people at the conference who are like, oh, dahlias. Really? No, can't.
That's how it's, I think that's how it's pronounced in England, is dahlia.
Well,
I'm going to go with however they say it in
yeah,
England.
Yeah, I was about to say. If
that's what I mean.
We'll use that as the...
They probably say pompous. Where's my pompous grass?
Right, I think we need to close this recording up. On the next time with Team Flower.
Fun times. Just know, regardless of how you pronounce anything, everybody's welcome. That's how I feel about it.
That's right. All pronunciations welcome at Team Flower.
All pronunciations are welcome. It's all good. All right. Well, let's head over and chat with our special guest.
Today, our special guest is Phoebe Robinson Higgins, and she has Popped with Phoebe in Nottingham, New Hampshire. Popped with Phoebe is the only online pop-up floral shop and resource mentorship program for entrepreneurs that outlines how to effectively grow your business while using a creative strategy to build your community, your client base, and your bank account. You can see more about what she does on poppedwithphoebe.com and on Instagram at popped with Phoebe. So that's P-O-P-P-E-D with W-I-T-H, Phoebe, P-H-E-B-E. Welcome, Phoebe. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here.
Oh, well, I would love for you to just dig in, tell us a little bit more about your business model. It's really unique. So I feel like we need in your words, tell us what you do with flowers.
Yeah. So I have this traditional part of my business, which is I'm an event florist. So I always try and say that there's like kind of two halves of this creative business that I have, which is I am a studio based florist. So I primarily do weddings and events. And I have Pop with Phoebe, which is a little different because it's my educational resource and platform. But the reason why I began doing pop-ups in 2013 in the first place is because I needed to get more exposure for my wedding and events industry and for my business. So I had to come up with a really creative and unique way to put the flowers that I do in front of people who weren't necessarily at a wedding reception or event for me. Because I started to realize, you get into this rhythm where you've got a lot of word of mouth business, but what happens when you begin to kind of plateau? And that's what I was seeing was happening with my business. I was getting inquiries, but I wasn't getting any new inquiries. They were really only coming from people where they had already seen me at an event. And I was missing a huge population because what about the other population of people that haven't been invited to a wedding? So that's when I had the creative idea to create a floral pop-up shop and to do it at a time when everybody was going to have florals on their mind, which is around a floral holiday. Those floral holidays primarily being Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. So that really, I want to say that that really launched my business. It really took me to, from booking some smaller events, I'd say maybe the $5,000 to $6,000 into the $20,000 events almost overnight, because all of a sudden everybody knew who I was. And my town, at the time I was living in a very small, southwestern Texas town, and they had never heard of pop-up shops. And now I was doing a floral pop-up shop. So it was this exciting thing that everyone in my town was talking about. I was on the radio, I was on TV. One of my previous clients gifted me a billboard, which my husband was not quite thrilled about at first because he's like, oh my God, how much did this cost? So everyone in the town was kind of rallying around these pop-up shops. And what was cool about them is I made sure to let people know I wasn't doing this every weekend. It was a special kind of thing that I did two or three times a year. So that's kind of how it started. Hopefully I answered everything.
You totally did. That's so cool. Well, it's kind of like you created a really special event for your community to come and to buy flowers, learn about flowers, experience them, gift them, the whole nine yards. And we're able to really do, it sounds like a big launch surrounding this floral event for your community. And I think that's super fun. And the billboard is super fun. Can you just tell us just a little bit more about that? What did you put on the billboard? Where was the billboard? Yeah, when did you get your picture driving by? I just think that's so fun.
Believe it or not, I actually didn't do the billboard. So.
Oh, you do it? Not doing it?
It was gifted. Uh-huh. So it was my face. And it was all the pop-up shop details and info and my website. And I remember my husband drove past it first. I actually hadn't driven past it. I probably would have that day. And he called me and he's just like, okay, I'm not going to ask how much it is, but how much was this? So it was client gifted. And I actually figured out that it was a venue that I was planning to work with anyway. So it was really perfect that they knew that the event was going to be such a success that they decided to go ahead and purchase the billboard ad for me. So that was really wonderful. And I think the thing that made these events and makes these events so unique and special is they are experience driven events. I'm not just showing up to an event with pre-made bouquets at a table and saying, okay, I hope people come and buy them because they're beautiful. I really wanted everything to be an experience. And a lot of the locations I worked at, I sat with them several months prior to the event to talk about what my goal was, and also what their goal was. And their goal was always to have customers purchase. So in an attempt to do that, I would pre-order a set amount of whether it was champagne or cookies or depending on the kind of venue, what it was, in hopes that that would get a client in, their arrangement wouldn't be ready right away. So they'd need to spend about 10 or 15, maybe 20 minutes and they could grab lunch. So that was, you know, and a part of seeing that experience was also being able to build out those florals right in front of them. I'm not someone that's nervous to design in front of people, and I like communicating while I'm doing it. So I might actually be selling to the person that's sitting across the room at a table, but that's been watching me the whole time and says, oh my gosh, I just love the way you put that together. I'm getting ready to head out. Can you make me something as well? So, it was just something that was so, so fun to do. And the last year that I was in Texas, I remember that we were at three locations and I was bouncing around to the three locations. And we also offered delivery. So it was really crazy because I think I must have done about 300 plus orders that day. So it was a very fun flower holiday for me.
Oh, that's very cool. So the locations or the venues that you worked at, were they other local businesses? Sorry if I didn't quite catch how that was working. Yeah.
Yeah, they were local businesses. And I primarily tried to focus on places where I knew people needed to linger. So I didn't want to do a coffee shop that was just coffee in and out, you know, something similar to a Starbucks where it's really, you know, the most amount of time you're spending in there is drive through or quick in and out 5 minutes. I tried to focus on cafes, places where people would need to sit and eat lunch, because I also wanted to be able to lure their clientele too. So it's a strategy, kind of thinking about you're bringing in your clientele and you're hoping that, you know, purchasing those cookies and champagne will lure them to want to have lunch and stay or to grab something and go, but also wanting to potentially service the people that are their clientele who are normally coming for lunch and are surprised that this beautiful pop-up shop is just magically appearing.
Very cool. That's such a great idea. And tell us about the radio and just your, I don't know, how did you go about doing the marketing for your event?
Yeah. So in terms of marketing, I mean, I had, because my town was so wonderful, I didn't actually have to reach out to either TV or radio. They actually reached out to me and said, hey, we hear you're doing this really cool event. We'd love to have you on. Can you be at the studio at, I don't know, 5 a.m? Which I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm going to look like a zombie, but yes, I'll be there. So the marketing that I did, I really wanted to do marketing at the specific venue. So of course I had them on my social media pages. Of course the venue also had it on theirs, but to kind of tease people up, what I would do in the week leading up to my event. So let's say my event was going to be on a Friday. That Monday, I would go in and I would start making sure that flowers were on, like little bud vases were on the table. I would have little little tent flyers at every other table. I might even have a bucket of tulips that, you know, take one for free. I'll see you at the pop-up shop. Something that kind of let people know that, hey, I'm going to be here and it's going to be this really beautiful floralized event. So that was basically the kind of marketing that I did. I didn't do any print marketing because I really wanted to focus on the people that were going to be there and the audience that I was bringing in. And just to kind of give you some context, the first time that I did this, I sold out in, I think, 27, it was something like that. It was like 37, 47, I don't know. It was a very short amount of time that I sold out everything. Uh-huh. But the crowds got so big that we really had to, and by crowds, I don't mean 25 or 50 people. I mean hundreds of people were coming to these. And I had no idea that it would be like this. There was one year we were loading the truck to get to the venue and I had a studio where, I only met with my wedding clients there. So no one really knew I was there. I wasn't a retail florist. So people didn't come to buy florals from me there. And that Valentine's Day, my husband opens the door to the studio and he's getting ready to load the truck. And there were 30 people lined up. And he's like, what are you doing here? And we laughed and they said, we're here to get flowers. And we're like, it's in 2 hours and not here. How did you find this place? So that's why we had to do the three locations plus a delivery, because quite frankly, there wasn't a single venue that could handle the crowd at any one location. So it just became, I'm going to do 10 to 12 here, 1 to 3 there, 5 to 7 at this location. And I think every year when we ran out, it was like I said to myself, I wish I had another 50 arrangements. I wish I had more florals because, you know, I remember walking away one year and feeling like I didn't have enough. But I also have a very specific formula in how I order to ensure that I am always profit first so that I don't end up losing anything in hopes, you know, I try and say as spontaneous as pop-up shops sound, there's actually a recipe behind ensuring that they're profitable. So my recipe has always been pre-orders plus 30%. It really keeps things in balance. So let's say you have 10 pre-orders, you're going to add 30% on top of those pre-orders that you have, and you're going to have to sell that 30%. Does that make sense? I know it seems kind of wonky, but.
Yeah. Well, I'm still back on the hundreds of people thing. I'm still back on this like flower hysteria that was created in your city.
Oh my God. Even when I moved to New Hampshire, people were still contacting me about pop-up shops here in New Hampshire, in Texas.
Yeah.
At first I said, you know, gosh, I wonder if the phenomenon me and how I create them, or could I teach people, anyone in different areas of the country at different locations, how to do this and to do this with this very specific formula and recipe right down from finding the perfect venue. And I tested this out with three people. Two were out in the Midwest and all very different. And one was also in Southwest Texas. The venues were so different. One was I think one student was at Pottery Barn and another boutique. Another girl had a floral truck, so a completely different concept from what I had. And then another young lady she was doing an event at her church. And what we were able to do at these three events was unbelievable. I think each of them walked away with between $3,000 and $4,000 profit.
That's awesome.
Very cool. It was really exciting because I got to see for the first time, wow, I can duplicate this. And it's not just me that's in the process. It's the process that is really effective. And it really starts with finding the right venue and vetting and making sure that that venue works for you and that you in turn are a good fit for the venue. So, you know, some people will come to me and say, hey, I really want to do a pop-up shop at a local bakery. And part of that vetting process is thinking about how do the florals survive in the environment that you're in? Mm-hmm. Is it too warm? Is it too cold? You know, are you outside? What if it rains? And it turns out that this particular location they were looking at, it was too warm. So you would have had beautiful florals, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, Kelly, that keeping florals in a really warm environment over the course of several hours isn't going to be wonderful for the longevity of that bloom.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So it, you know, it starts with finding the perfect place, and then it's all of the marketing and how you approach that. For me, I love doing the marketing at that specific venue. I love kind of popping in and maybe doing a mini pop-up shop. One of my venues asked me to do they paid to have not just bud vases on all the tables the entire week of Valentine's Day, but they also wanted a mini floral wall for photos. So that was something that I was able to do as well. And that was something that they paid for because they wanted to have that as as something that was cool at their venue.
Yeah, that's really fun. That's a good idea. There's so many opportunities in our communities that maybe we just haven't seen or been exposed to yet, ways to introduce people to flowers. And I think that that's something that you have obviously done such a great job with. And I just think of all the people who, you know, have received flowers that maybe hadn't before as a result of you, you know, thinking outside of the box and going out on a limb and getting this put together. And I just really appreciate everything that you do so much. I think it's so encouraging to see your work.
Thank you. Well, and that was the most exciting thing, Kelly, is, you know, the pop-up shop, the success of it was wonderful. But really, when you go back to why did I do this in the beginning, you know, it was to get more exposure for my wedding business. So through that, I was able to book those brides who would have never seen me because mm-hmm. maybe they weren't maybe in those particular circles of folks that I was working with currently. So for me, it just all of a sudden, I felt like I was everywhere all of a sudden, which yeah. was scary and exciting and a lot more responsibility and challenges once you begin to get those bigger events. But that's exactly what I wanted.
Very cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of your weddings and events and maybe just even a little bit of marketing for that. Like, let's just say it's January and inquiries are maybe slowing down a little bit and you have that kind of like feeling maybe. I don't know if that's happened to yeah. you. What do you do? What do? You wait it out. You have some strategy. You get a pop-up shop plan. What do you do
that, when you have that feeling? You know what? Between December and January, that's when I always say that's really when I'm going to make the most of my money right then. So what I do is, again, to try and generate that traffic. Now, I'm also in New England. So when I was in Texas, things were much more year round due to the weather. Being in New England, we really shut down between, I would say, Halloween and sometimes early March, beginning of April, and for some, May. So you have this really big time when you don't have weddings due to the weather and it being colder. So for me, that's when I start doing my pop-up shops. That's when I turn my attention to, I call that the retail side of my brain, because in December and January, I'm planning for February Valentine's Day pop-up shops. From those pop-up shops, I'm planning to at least book 3 to 5 new clients or new businesses. And that's how I'm going to push those for Valentine's Day. And then I'm going to push those even further. I'm sorry, to Mother's Day. And I'm going to push those even further to the fall. So once I get into like Thanksgiving Day weekend and retail grand openings. So December and January is for the event world in New England. It looks like a time when we're slowing down. That's when I'm really ramping up with my special marketing events with pop-up shops, because again, I'm using this as a marketing tool.
Well, you have given us so many great tips for marketing. I love it. And yeah, really great ways to think out of the box with marketing. Let's transition and talk a little bit about the floral industry at large and what you love about it. And maybe if you have some parting words for listeners today, something that's on your heart for all of the people who are listening.
So, oh gosh, it's so hard for me to kind of tie down or tether myself to one thing that I love about this industry and makes it great. But if I had to, I suppose I would say the fact that we are ever changing. That's one thing I love about this industry. I think that's one thing that keeps it exciting. You can continue to reinvent yourself as many times as you want to. And I guess that's one thing that I would encourage. I would encourage, if you are a retail florist, to not be afraid of taking on events and weddings. If you are primarily a wedding and event florist, to, you know, to look into whether or not retail and everyday arrangements is something that you would like. Maybe it's, you know, for me, that's in the form of pop-up shops and maybe holiday events, but that's what makes this event industry so special, is you don't have to be any one thing here. You can be everything, all things, and some things in between. So mm-hmm. I like to say that I am a wedding florist, a little bit of retail, a whole lot of heart, and an educator on top of everything. So that's what this industry, I think, really calls for, is constant creativity and constant change.
So good. And anything, a word of encouragement that you might have for everybody listening today?
Don't be afraid to try something new. I think when I was beginning to, you know, come up with this pop-up shop idea, I searched for both inspiration and resources, and I didn't find anything. And for years, I didn't find anything. And then I decided, gosh, how many other people are out there looking to create something but too afraid to do it because they don't see that it exists yet, or they don't see this template for how to make it successful. Don't be afraid to try something new. And, you know, if it works and you have, you know, shown that through many examples, don't be afraid to create that resource.
Perfect. It's been so great to have you here, Phoebe. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I'm so, so glad and so honored to be with all of you today.
And again, everybody, her website is poppedwithphoebe.com and on Instagram, poppedwithphoebe. Until next time.
Hi, I'm Carol Burns. My company is called Annalise's Table, which is named after my mother. Some people wonder about that. And the name Table comes from the beginnings of our business, which is renting vintage tableware, glasses, and crystal. But I started adding floral services after my customers started asking for centerpieces for the tables that I was adding decor to. So I have joined Team Flower, I think, about 5 years ago, and I want to share some of the experience I've had with the clientele that I've served in the retail, nonprofit, and corporate businesses. Here's how to expand your event floral work outside of weddings. Are you a professional looking to diversify your income sources? Or maybe you're seeking to experience the freedom to create for events outside the box. Or perhaps you're wondering how to segue from wedding clients to other clients with different event needs. If you can identify with any of those, then this article is for you. Retail, corporate, and nonprofit clients offer a creative and repetitive niche. How do you find these type of clients? Networking. The goal is to get your name and floral skills known within the industry and cultivate relationships and trust, leading to repeat paying clients and contracts. Here's a few ways that you can do this. Number one, take an arrangement with your business card. Know their brand, style, color palette, rustic, organic, or modern, to design accordingly. Try to ask for a specific person. Talk to someone you already know or research their about page on their website for a marketing representative or the owner. Leaving the arrangement with the receptionist is an option, but it's not always the best way to reach a decision maker. Number two, visit a public relations firm in your area with an arrangement and a slew of business cards. Number three, look into retail shops, from local boutiques to large chains and bakeries. Number four, connect with possible corporate clients, such as realtors, lawyers, banks, hotels, and care homes. Number five, volunteer to work at a nonprofit event that you have an interest in. Join their auxiliary, or consider donating your time to design for one of their smaller events, which can lead to a paid larger event. Remember, your offer should be authentic, not self-serving. Only offer if you are grateful for, interested in, or passionate about their mission. The byproduct will be networking and learning more about your community and nonprofits. Number six, include hashtags on your Instagram account. Pound Your City Florist, Corporate Florist, Corporate Events, Event Design, etc. Number seven, research local upcoming nonprofit events posted on Facebook. Call and offer your services. Some community-based events do not have a budget for flowers, so you may consider foraging and/or investing a small amount of your money for your creations. For example, after seeing a Facebook post from Stockton Leadership raising funds and having an open house to renovate the women's shelter's children's room, I sent off an email offering to create arrangements for that event at no cost to them. One member later hired me to design floral arrangements for the Children's Museum's 25th anniversary gala. Number eight, be sure you update your website to include these services for these particular industries. Why these clients need your event design services. It's rare for these clients to have a Pinterest board, unless, of course, your client is an event planner or a PR firm. They are focused on running their business and need a reliable, professional florist to handle this part of their event. Most think in terms of centerpieces only, and it may not occur to them to add additional floral decor throughout the venue to further represent the theme. It's important to note that each corporate or retail service offers a unique set of opportunities. Let's talk about a few of them. Public relations firms. Public relations firms work with nonprofit and corporate clients, including retail shop complexes, to advertise, market, and coordinate their events, and work closely with various venue managers. They value creative, reliable vendors and are a valuable source of repeat work and referrals. Retail shops. Large chains typically have local discretionary funds. For instance, seasonal storefront displays, repeat client gifts, and hosting fashion shows. Some need florists for national brand launchings. And if they are not local, they can find you by your hashtag your city. Private boutiques and bakeries. These businesses could use flowers for window displays, seasonal flowers for their in-store display counters, new product launches, special promo days, outdoor sandwich boards, and or holiday collaboration gift boxes or packages. Corporate clients. Like real estate, you can offer arrangements for open houses, annual holiday parties, large designs for a central reception area, and more. Remember, all of these can lead to subscription services with individual realtors. Lawyers. Research whether lawyers host annual events and if a milestone corporate anniversary may be coming up. That way, when you reach out, you can specifically mention you'd like to be the floral designer for each of their events. Banks and hotels. These businesses often host annual events, provide client gifts, and utilize lobby arrangements. They also frequently sponsor large nonprofit events and can refer your services to them. Care homes. This is an excellent opportunity. Not only could you provide reception flowers, holiday decor, and workshops for the residents, but you'd also likely be lifting the spirits of the residents there. Not to mention the annual Bosses Day, Administrative Assistant or Secretary's Day, and of course, employee birthdays. Nonprofits. There are countless ways you can serve nonprofits, and it can be multifaceted. You could provide flowers for fundraisers, luncheons, annual or semi-annual events. A couple of things to note when you're serving nonprofits. They typically want flower colors to match their brand colors. If you volunteer your services and the nonprofit is registered as a nonprofit with a Trader Joe's in your area, you should be able to get donated flowers that you can use for their events, either on their own or to supplement what you buy. Your interest in the mission of a nonprofit can lead to paid services. You may be wondering why you would volunteer your design services for a community event, but I'd like to share a few thoughts from my personal experience to encourage you to do so. My passion as a florist has been to share with nonprofits that provide housing, food, clothing, medical and dental assistance, and programs focused on people becoming self-sustaining while helping them on the path to healing both body and spirit. As florists, we all know the healing power of flowers, the joy and delight that blesses both our recipients and us. Imagine for a moment the powerful impact flowers have on these individuals, most of whom have never had anyone give them flowers. They are focused daily on the mountains and giants in their life, and then you bring into their challenging world a Mother's Day tea with flowers, flowers on their birthday, even a wedding with real bouquets and centerpieces, or mini flower arrangements and tin cans lining the center's dining hall tables. The joy and gratitude, excitement and wonder frequently come with tears, mine mingled with theirs. I find inspiration in this unlikely community, and I receive so much more than I give, and I know that you will too. How to create for these clients. There are several things to keep in mind when designing for any retail, nonprofit, or corporate clients. They have a theme. As soon as my client tells me about the event, I immediately begin conjuring up ideas on how to use flowers and decor to tell their story. Countless aspects of a theme shape the design, whether it's elegant or casual, modern or classic, even things like the date or the time of day, the venue, the dress code, and so much more. Florists are incredibly creative problem solvers, so this is a fantastic opportunity to bring your unique vision to an event that guests will remember. Celebrating an honoree. Whether you're celebrating a male or a female honoree may set the tone of the centerpiece style. Discover the honoree's passions and colors or flowers they do or do not like. Be sure to include or exclude these items in the event centerpieces. If you can find out what the honoree will be wearing at the event, you can coordinate their corsage or bouquet. Does the planner want a special arrangement at the table where the honoree is sitting? Make sure to ask about these details. Guest flow. Ask your client where the guests will enter first. The lobby is a perfect area to stage the tone for the theme. Is there a reception table, a cocktail hour, or a stage? These are all opportunities to add flowers or other decor which the client may not have thought about. Approach these areas as a guest would and add something that will make the first impression. And don't forget the restrooms, both the men's and the women's. 95% of these types of client events will have a podium for special speakers. Check if they need their logo plaque attached to the podium's front and offer to do so. Include greenery and flowers. If it's available during your site visit, check the design for the size, ledges, and mechanics you'll need to attach the flowers and greenery. The time at the beginning of an event is a great way to introduce the theme, and cocktail tables are so much fun to create and engage the guests. During your site visit, measure and take pictures of the bar area, and if possible, talk to the venue bar manager. Some venues do not want anything on their bars, but may be open to the shelving behind the bars. You could also suggest the option of candles and greeneries on any low tables in the lounge areas. Tell your client if the cost of the vases and/or decor is factored into your budget proposal. What can be taken home at the end of the event can often be confusing to the guests. During the design phase, have a conversation with your client to develop simple ways of handling centerpieces, vases, and themed decor items that guests can or cannot take, and whether they're free or must be purchased. As a suggestion, you can use simple, small notes with envelopes placed in front of each item stating something such as the following. Quote, decor item or centerpiece is available for purchase at X amount of money. Please place your donation inside the envelope. Or, decor item not for sale. Or, take me home for X amount of dollars. Discuss with your client when the MC should announce information about the centerpieces and decor. If possible, after dinner and before the speakers begin. If left to the end of the event, the MC might forget or guests could be busy chatting and leaving. Some clients will also ask the MC to mention your name as a designer of the flowers and decor at this time. When beginning your creative process, check with your client for approval to add other decor and/or two or three different styles of centerpieces, which will bring interest and allows you to reinforce the theme. Most guests only see grocery store flowers, so take the extra step of adding at least one unique flower type to each arrangement. Reflexed fringe tulips gets guests every time. Guests notice details, a unique design and extra decor on the tables. I guarantee you they will touch the flowers with curiosity and appreciation. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. It's so much fun. Planning events with retail, nonprofit, and corporate clients. There's a quote I like by Richard Feynman that says, "Creativity without discipline and planning is like a river without a riverbank." Where would the theme of a Harvest Moon event lead your imagination? Or the magic of music, a Star Wars theme, Wine Master's End of Harvest Dinner, or a Midsummer's Night Dream? Do you see the difference in working with its clientele? Exciting, isn't it? Non-wedding event work is an opportunity to explore the dual role of creative planner and florist. But with so much creative freedom, it's important to nail down a few ideas early in the process. Creative design tells a story, generates feelings in your guests, and moves and inspires them. Part of the creative fun is investing some thoughtful planning into your themes. Here are some things to keep in mind as you're planning with your client. Number one, don't get too attached to the first appealing idea you have. It may not work either because of practicality or budget, but as your ideas flow, they will merge into one or two great concepts that you can share with your client, either through sketches, a mood board, or a rough mock-up. Most of my clients don't ask for anything other than a verbal description, yet a few have wanted a full mock-up for the board of directors, so it's best to be prepared. Number two, explain why you think your designs would represent their theme well, and most importantly, fit within their budget. Number three, put on your florist hat. You may need to educate them on the costs and seasonality of flowers. Don't be afraid to give your opinion, but it is essential to strike a balance between creating your design and delivering a design your client is happy with and represents their theme. Your client may even combine their favorite elements from each concept, which will give you valuable insight into their vision for the event. After they approve of the basic idea, you can fully explore the details and surprise them at the event. Planning early gives you time to order your flowers early. Research and order elements in your design and create what you can ahead of time, which works perfectly in the days between your other events. Research your client's company, history, and role in the community. Is sustainability important to them? Share how you offer ways to support this. Consider each specific design sketches, labeling each design by number, then transferring that number onto a master plan. Make notes on each sketch of what themed hard goods, votives, and/or arrangements will go on each table. If there is to be additional greenery, etc., added on site. Even show each item's specific place on the table. This is such a great help on the day of setup, especially if you have others helping you. You may want to have a clipboard for each helper with the sketches and the master plan to ensure the setup is executed as planned. Corporate events typically hire a photographer who is solely focused on the guests, honorees, etc., and rarely, even when asked, take photos of table decor. I recommend either bartering with or paying for a photographer's hour to take pictures before guests arrive. Always discuss this with your client so they know the reasons for having your photographer there and don't think that they are paying for them. Now enjoy this freedom to create. Each client and each event is so unique, and that's the beauty of this niche. You can create something new every single time. Even though the look of 2020 and 2021 events have been and continue to be unknown, people are made for relationships. We will always want to gather and celebrate the accomplishments of someone we honor or a milestone in our history. Events will always need florists to tell their story with unique designs and details, creative touches throughout, and fresh, lush flowers guests will love to take home to remember for days to come. Cherish your new connections. Communication, follow-through, and reliability strengthen building relationships within your new niche. But one of the most important is expressing gratitude and appreciation. Consider writing thank you notes after each event to your client. Take an arrangement to their office when you have an extra, or perhaps drop off a small thank you gift. Expressing your appreciation throughout the year is not only the right thing to do, but it also tells our clients that what they do makes a difference, which is something we all need to hear.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.